I want to talk to you tonight on the same subject we're talking about this morning, talking about the pursuit of God. And, you know, the Lord has to create that desire in you. All I can do is just talk about it a little bit, stimulate it, and hopefully be used by the Holy Spirit to bring things to your remembrance a little bit. Hello, Sister Beelan. It's good to see you. I love you so much. But it's the Holy Spirit that has to create a desire. And it's really like this. Either God's going to create a desire, or you're going to run after God till He gives you a desire. Or extreme difficulty will bring on that desire. Now, most of us came to Jesus. How many came to Jesus through a hard time? I mean, it was extreme difficulty. Yeah, that's where. And God expected us to develop this sincere love and treasure Him so much that we would never stop pursuing Him. But a lot of us, you know, we just kind of got over and coasted when our battle was gone, when our problem was out of the way. Then we found so many other things to put our desire into. But the Lord wasn't pleased with that. Because God expected Himself. He anticipates Him being that kind of treasure to us. I told you this morning, one of the most disappointing things in life is to expect to be loved by somebody and then to get there and not be loved by them. We usually refer that to as rejection. It hurts. It hurts deep in us. It's when you expect somebody to love. And that's where the Lord anticipated that we would love Him forever. That's why the New Testament is written the way it is. It's written in the expectancy of a pursuit of God. That people were going to just love Him so much and treasure Him in their heart that they would spend the rest of their days running toward Him. So I'm sure that the Lord knows what disappointment is. In fact, Scripture relates that Jesus was the most rejected man that ever lived. But He's also the most healed man. Amen. And so wherever we have been rejected and wherever we have a tendency that if we have been rejected and deeply hurt, we have a tendency to do that toward others, even toward God. Amen. And we have to allow God to heal that rejection in us. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to heal that. Because as long as it stays a wound, it makes us that we don't have the strength to love God or others the way we're supposed to. And so we have to let God heal the rejections. And there's not a one of us, including Jesus, that does not have multitudes of rejections. But we must allow the Holy Spirit. He is the healer of all the hurts. Somebody give the Lord. Yeah, come on, join Andy there. He's the healer of all that hurts. I can so remember that when I came to the Lord, I was bleeding. I'm still bleeding, but I was bleeding from every cell of me. I was just needing to be loved. And I can remember for the next several months, God just loving on me. And the Lord was doing a work in me to bring me to an amount of healing that the Holy Spirit then would begin to work in me. And the journeys never stopped, although I pulled over and parked on the side of the road several times. But God's never quit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The Lord's never, never quit with that. So God's expectancy is that we pursue. And I want God to know I treasure Him that much. I mean, even when my flesh says I don't, I want God to know I do. I want God to know that He's the greatest treasure beyond any imagination. God is the treasure of our life. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's why worship is important to us. That's why praise is important. That's why we talk about the Lord. That's one of those things. And in the various, and in the pursuits, God's expectancy is this. So God gives us these wonderful scriptures. And this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says, run hard and fast in the faith, seize the eternal life. God's just passion in that. Passion. Seize the eternal life. The life you were called to is what it says in the NLT. I love that. Seize the life that you were called to. Man, God has called us all to live a far more wonderful life than the world has tried to give us. God has called it. The only way we're ever going to get there is through God and through grace. And then it says, the life you so fervently embraced. Oh, God expected, it's a passion that just flows, that God expected us to passionately love Him and just passionately embrace everything. I mean, God didn't expect us to have all of these arguments that we do in the Bible. Oh, I don't believe it says that. Oh, I don't think it does. I don't. God did it. God expected, because He said it, for us just to simply believe it. And to just accept Him and just love on Him and to spend the rest of our days. And that's why they went from power to power in the New Testament. They went from powerful to powerful to powerful. And here we stand here today, rejected, wounded, hurt, bombed out, not realizing how much God loves us, and we wonder where the power is. And so God is in the process of restoration. He's in the process of healing us so He can flow through us. Because one that's been loved can only love. And one that's only healed can be a healer in others. And the one that's only been helped by God can really have help for anybody else. Because if not, then you'll be always trying to do it. I'd be a noodle. And I want to tell you, your noodle's not good enough to help me. It's just not good enough to help me. But in Acts chapter 17, the Lord said the whole purpose of the everything since creation. In fact, He uses the word creation in the verse prior to this. He said His purpose for the nations was to seek after God and perhaps to feel their way toward Him. So if you may be in that process, so, Jerry, I just don't know how to seek after God, then you just start feeling your way. If you just start feeling your way toward Him. The Bible says you take a step and He will take two towards you, or He will take a step towards you. Draw nigh to God, He draws nigh to you. You start feeling your way toward God. And before you know it, you'll be in a vast pursuit. Now, the first reason it does it because God's called me. So I have to deal with this area that God's called me to pursue Him. So I have to come to terms with it. Am I going to be obedient or disobedient? Am I going to realize this is what God's called me to do? Am I going to give my life to this pursuit of God? So the first area is I must really deal with it. The second, though, is my life needs. My life that God has for me needs me to pursue God. My life that God has for me. And I told you this morning, as we talked through that, I wanted to talk to you tonight about the books in heaven. Because the books in heaven, they're so motivational of having us realize a little bit. Now, I'm not giving you a theological study tonight. So if you want to argue with me about this, you have to argue with your own fence post. I don't argue with you. I'm not here in a theological way tonight. I'm here in a passionate pursuit of God way, to just help us to locate other reasons and other whys and other hows that we can show the wonder of the universe, how much we love Him and how much we care about Him, and to some way to be able to express that love toward Him. When we went away on the deacon retreat back in the spring, It's a spiritual thing. And so each one of the deacons share out of their heart. And literally, everyone there comes out of themselves, and the Holy Spirit begins to feed into that meeting. And the Lord told us out of that, there was four things that we would need in this church to be concerned about this year. The first one was our walk. That the Lord wanted us to be concerned, or give attention to, not be concerned, but give attention to our walk. The second one, he said, to give attention to your worship. Give attention to your worship. The third one was to give attention towards your God in the areas that God is able to help us. God is bigger than we've ever imagined. And the greater the view of God, the greater we can allow God to move in our life. And then the fourth one was give attention to His power. That God wanted to do some things. He wanted to flow His great power. All right, we're going to talk about the books of heaven tonight. Just in a way, somebody going, oh yeah, great. Praise God. All right. The books are in heaven, the book of life. If you would, you can open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20 and just look at the screen. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. It said, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before God. And the books, where's Kenny? Kenny? Are you in there? Yeah, there you are. See, if you won't mind, on the copier, there is sheets copied. And on those sheets, it has a real simple outline of what I'm covering tonight. Anybody that would be interested in your study, to study on the books that are in heaven. It said, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before God. And the books, notice what it says, the books were open. Not book. It's the word books were open. God has books in heaven. I don't know. He may have hundreds. I don't know how many He has. But the books were open, including the book of life. We usually think about God just opening one book. We usually think about God opening the book of life. But the Bible says there will be a day when God will open up the books. The books about me. Now, including in that books that God is opening, He's opening one called the book of life. And that's the one that we usually think about. And the dead were judged according to the things written in the books. Notice the books, not the book. Each according to the deeds he had done. And then Revelation 20:15 says, if anyone's name, and the major thing that we want to know when the book of life is opened, I want to know my name is there. Amen. Because, man, if my name is there, ticket's in. Hallelujah. Made it. Even by skin of our teeth, you know. So that's the major to me. That's probably not the major to God. But to me, that's the major. And I just want to say that if you don't have the faith of the knowledge that you are saved, that needs to be dealt with before that day. Because it's your faith. You're not accidentally saved. You won't go up there that day and wonder whether you are or not. You know now. The faith that you have is the very faith that saves you. You need to deal with that before that day. If there's any wonder whether you're saved or not, whether your name's written in the book of life, it needs to be tended to before then. Tend to it. If thou shalt believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. I tell you, it's so simple. The simplicity that God has made, this marvelous, miraculous thing called salvation. So you need to deal with it. And then it says that if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, that book, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So that's really pretty well all I'm going to talk about on the book of life. The books were open. Everybody say books. The books were open, but it was the book of life that was my major concern. And I want to know, and why don't we just stop there a minute? Why don't we just take a moment for that? Why don't you just bow your heads right before the Lord? And why don't you just say, Lord, am I saved? Just ask Him. Lord, never mind you asking Him those things. Lord, am I saved? I want to know for sure, Lord. I need to know for sure. Now, if there's any question, always know this. The Lord never minds you asking Him questions. I've asked God this one question probably 10,000 times. The one question I ask the Lord is, do you love me? I already know the answer. I just like to hear Him say it again and again and again and again. Because every time He says, yes, Sherry, I love you, it just does something within me that brings such a great healing. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right, now the next one I want to talk about is the book of deeds, or the book of rewards. In Revelation 12 and 20, or 20 and 12, it says that, the scripture we already read, it said they were judged according to the things in the books, and each according to the deeds he had done. Now, we could give a whole teaching tonight just on the rewards in heaven. Now, a lot of people never stop and think about that. But the Bible gives explicit. Now, where we differ here on earth is how many rewards there are. I hear that some people say that they are the teacher, there's 7 rewards, others 8, others even high as 12 or 13 or 14. But you know what? What matters is that you know that there are things that you can do here on earth that when you get to heaven, that you will be rewarded for. Now, as those crowns are given, I can see us as, can't you, as Revelation chapter 5, we take those crowns and cast them at the Lord's feet, because I tell you what's gold crown mean among streets of gold? That humility. But it also could mean whether I'm going to drive a Volkswagen or a Lamborghini. So it matters. So you just got to know that there are rewards. There's things that we do here on life. And Lord willing, we'll talk about that at other times, of course. We're talking about the rewards in heaven. It's a wonderful thing. I just don't want... Now, when the book of life is open, I'll be happy to get in with the skin of my teeth. 10 seconds later, I'm going to want a reward. You understand? And so God records that. They're in one of those books, and the book will be opened, and it will be read. All right, now the third one. Now we call these all kinds of different names, okay? But the third book in heaven is the book of battles. I call it the book of battles. You can call it the book of trials. It's when you walk through a hard issue and you hold the faith. It's when things are tough and you think nobody cares and nobody knows what you're going through. I want you to know Jesus sees every tear. And Jesus sees every expression of your faith. There's nothing in all the world that you will go through that Jesus does not take extreme care with. Nobody else may not be looking at you. Nobody else may see how that you're putting down the issue of hurt and you're determining to walk on in love. Nobody else may not know how that it'd be so easy to quit. And you say, I won't quit for Jesus' sake. We just forget we do it for the Lord, and we do it as unto the Lord. Amen. And so we forget why we're doing this stuff. But those that don't forget, those that pull over in their corner and say, Jesus, I know I don't have to handle it like this, but I want to bring glory to your name. I'm going to put my hands up in heaven. I'm going to praise you through this storm. And I'm going to have confidence, God, that you're going to take care of me. Amen. I want you to know the Lord notices those things. In fact, the book of Psalm chapter 56, verse 8 says, you keep track of all my sorrows. Notice what it says. You have collected all of my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. That God has a book in heaven that records every tear of faith. Now, I don't believe that this is tears of doubt. And I don't believe they're tears of just depression. It's the tears of fighting against depression. But it's tears of faith. When you've continued to stand, when you know it would be much easier to pull over and quit, But you say, Jesus, I won't quit until you get the glory. I want you to get the glory from my life. And God says that when a tear falls, when a tear courses down your cheek and falls to that floor and dries into that carpet that you think will never, ever be remembered again, Jesus says, I'm putting it down in my book. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You're talking about how wonderful Jesus. In fact, James talked about that. James chapter 1 verse 2 said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. When he's tried, when you're going through a trial, when you're going through a hard time, honey, and nobody else is noticing, and you're not doing it, you're not holding your head up to get some big prideful something. You're continuing on because you love Jesus. And when everyone is doing you wrong, and maybe everyone is failing you, and nobody, everybody's forgetting you, and the prayer requests are even forgetting you, but you're saying, God, I continue on. I want to handle this the way a believer handles it. And you continue on, and you endure. Everybody say endure. In fact, endurance is a fruit of the Spirit. It's what the Spirit of God does, and He makes us suffer long. The Spirit of God working in our life gives us the ability to suffer long through things. Amen. And that's why I talked about this morning. The Bible said a strong spirit sustains a person in bodily pain. Man, you can't go to the medicine drawer every time you have a headache. You can't do it. You got to let your spirit handle some things. Now, I'm not talking about extremities. I'm not talking about that. But I'm just saying a person's spirit has to become strong enough to be able to handle difficulty. Your spirit has to handle it. Man, every time your spirit handles it, it's Jesus handling it. And when you're the weakest, grace becomes the strongest. And when you feel like there's no way you can handle this, that's the very time that God says, my grace is sufficient. Amen. Amen. So, then fourth, we're going to talk about the book of memory. I'm talking about books in heaven. The book of memory. Now, you may not call it memory, but that's what it goes. There are memories that you make in God's mind that God feels are so important that He writes those things down. Or it said, then those who feared and loved the Lord. I'll show you how much God cares about us. The smallest minute thing. If we're doing it in a time where we're doing it in faith and trusting Him, He's so taking notice. Notice what I said, Malachi chapter 3. Is it up there? Verse 16. It says, then those who feared and loved the Lord spoke often of Him to each other. And He had a book of remembrance, or a book of memory, drawn up in which He recorded the names of those who feared Him and loved to think about Him. You're talking about a personal God, man. When you just think about the goodness of God. Because, see, the devil's trying to get you to think about everything else. The devil's trying to think about all your misery, what everybody's hurt you, how they've all failed you. But when you think, when you determine, I'm not going to be a pincushion for the devil. I'm going to give my mind to the Lord. And when you determined that you're going to think about God, you're going to think about His goodness. I'm going to think about His goodness. I almost want to sing this. I wish I had a voice, man. If I had a voice like you, I could tear it up. But just to think about the goodness of God, God says, that means so much to me. God says, I'm writing it down in a book of memory. Wow. I tell you what. Hope some of my other thoughts the Lord didn't record. But isn't God precious? And when you talk to somebody about the goodness of God, See, when you're talking to somebody how good God is, giving testimony, the Bible says that's bearing witness. When you're bearing witness of the goodness of God, when you see somebody in the line in Walmart, if you work at Brookshire's, we'll say Brookshire's. If you work at the dollar store, we'll say dollar store. I mean, wherever, I don't want to come against wherever you work. And you're checking out, and you hear somebody say, it is just so bad, and things are just so rough, and I just can't hardly make it. And when you say, you know what? I've experienced that very thing that you've went through. I've been there. I've been hurt too. But I want you to know, God helped me. And He wanted me to tell you, He wants to help you. Amen. The Bible says when you tell somebody that, God writes it down in His book in heaven. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Man, God records that so much. Now, it says in the, I love what it says in the Living Bible about that verse. It says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Speak to one another. Man, open your mouth. Tell about Jesus everywhere you go. Fill God's book up. I mean, wouldn't you just like to get there on that day and the Lord's opening up these books and say, oh, we're going to bring the books of memory up. And all of a sudden, the angel says, I need 15 more angels to bring her book up because she has so many good thoughts about you, God. She's had so many wonderful people that she's witnessed to. She's had so many wonderful people that she's told about you. I need about 15 more angels to bring those books up. Because the Bible says every time you do it, God's recording it in heaven. Don't we serve an awesome God? Man, a wonderful God. All right, then, the last one. It's certainly not the last book, but it's the last one I can really know of. Out of the books of heaven. And it's the book of purpose. Such an important book. And this is where we come to in our pursuit of God. So many times we think we can kind of just do what we want to with our life. Or we usually try to do what the finances demand it to be done. But when you put God first, when you treasure God first, then God will bring other things in line. You've got to understand, you can't have any king in your life but Jesus. And we must allow Jesus the right to direct every part of our life. We trust Him. We trust Him. We trust Him. We trust where He tells me to live. We should trust what He tells us to do. We should trust to become the kind of person that He desires for us to be. In fact, that's all that God requires, that we would trust Him. But trust empties out everything else in my life I would try to do on my own. Because when I trust God, we will listen to God. And we will follow the dictates. Because there's a book of purpose. Now it says in Psalms 139:14. I love it. Psalms usually always starts with a praise. It says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex, God. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. I don't know what the world has tried to say you look like. I don't know what the world has tried to make out of you. I don't know what the world, but that's not what God's made. Each one of us need to be able to stand in front of the mirror and say, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship, God, is marvelous. And how well I know it. Then the next verse says, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. Lord, you watch me. You watch this ear come here. You watch this nose. You watch this mouth develop, Lord. You were there all the time. The Bible says, watching us. Can't you just see that God is the expectant Father standing over your mother's womb, watching everything? The saddest and the most hurtful thing about people that try to become something different than what God has made them, the saddest thing is they're not trusting that God did it right. That God made them right. Apart from what society has tried to force them into, we as believers say, hey, we can trust God. God made it right. This big bump in my nose, God made that. Maybe he made it so you could laugh at it, but God made it. See, God made me. He said, you saw me, verse 16. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment. How complex. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Verse 17. How precious are your thoughts, God? I trust your thoughts. I trust your thoughts. I trust your thoughts enough, Lord, to make your thoughts my thoughts. I trust your thoughts enough, Lord, to know that you've made me right. And you've already laid out every day before I live it. Let me ask you something. If God has already recorded every day what he created me to do and what he created me to be, what am I responsible for? Am I responsible to choose my own right, get up every day and do? Or am I responsible to the Master? The one that created me and created me for a purpose. And not only did he have already written out in his book, he had 65 years of my life plus what else I'm going to live. So don't be sure to put that plus there. Written out what he wanted Jerry to do, what he wanted Jerry to be. Not only day by day, but that scripture says moment by moment. God has the next minute laid out. That's why those that follow the Spirit obtain life. And those that follow the dictates of their flesh, they allow what God created them to be to just perish and die and wither away. Where do you start? Right now? Right this moment? That's where we start. You may be a doctor, but are you a doctor in the right city? Are you working in the right hospital? I mean, all of this. God has a plan. It's not me trying to figure my life out. It's me pursuing God, who has already figured it all out for me and my life. So what if I've already messed it up? Then only God can fix it up. And the Lord has a way. A lot of times life is like this huge train, and that train has stops all along the way. And we have gotten off of God's will. I can't tell you the days that I got out of the will of God. Not meaning to, just making my own way. But I tell you something about the tracks of God, the tracks of our life. They run in a huge circle. And the moment we say, God, I'm responsible before you with my life. I'm responsible to you. All of a sudden, the conductor says, train coming in. And the train stops. And the steps come down. And the Holy Spirit says, get back home. God is a good God. God is a marvelous God. God is a good God. Only God can figure out how I could live my own life doing my own thing for 65 years. But at the moment that I realize God has divine plan of every moment of my life, that I yield it to God, miraculously God has a way of getting me on track and getting me on course for the glory of God. Amen? Oh, that's a good God. Now let me just really close with this. Psalms, it said, I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. The Living Bible said it this way, you saw me before I was born, and you scheduled. You that got your daytimer scheduling your life, you saw me, God, before I was born, and you scheduled each day of my life. Before I began to breathe, every day was recorded in your book. Can you say amen? Now, what if we just ignore God? What if we don't actually pursue the Lord? There's so many scriptures that relate to that. That's just probably no way I could give them all. But just to give you one in closing is this. The Bible said, and he gave 1 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and held them responsible for that. To each according to his own ability. And his ability was the ability that God had created him to be. And God gave talents in accordance with that ability. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents and used his life to glorify God. But then verse 18 said, but he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid the Lord's money. And what usually stops us from yielding our lives to the Lord, verse 19 says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came. And I'm going to tell you, it's been after a long time, but God is coming back. The Lord is coming back. I want you to know the Lord is coming back. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. If I've yielded my life to God, if I've allowed his purposes to be my purpose, if I've allowed him to call the shots in my life, he says, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But the one that didn't said, I was afraid. Fear is the only thing that stops us from our pursuit of God. Fear. We're afraid. We're fearful. We're fearful. We've had people abuse us and hurt us and use us strongly. So a lot of times we live life without trusting God. But if we will trust him, God will take our life in the original purpose of our creation and the original reason that God brought us into this world and scheduled my life every day in accordance to his will. If I was simply get up and say, Holy Spirit, I yield my life to you. I refuse to follow the dictates of my flesh. I choose to follow the Holy Spirit every day and every moment of my life. God has a miracle for us. we will choose to trust Him and quit being afraid. I can't. I'm afraid God tell me to quit my job, and I got a family of 10. I know. It's fearful. Somebody said, I'm afraid, God. Yeah, the fear will always keep you. Keep you from listening to God. But someday, you got to get tired of serving the fear and say, I'm fixing to serve the Lord. And I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to pursue His way. Let's stand together. God bless you.